Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, August 6, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The great chapter on one of the most important church age doctrines that the royal family of God can ever learn and apply. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a verse, Ephesians 4:5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That one baptism is not water baptism. It's spirit baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And water baptism was simply used as an illustration, a training aid to teach the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit until the Apostle Paul, through the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, wrote Romans chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In fact, the Apostle Paul couldn't even remember, I guess I baptized one or two. That's all. I can't remember anybody else. The baptism of the Spirit is absolutely essential for church age saints to learn, to understand, to believe, and apply. This is church age truth. This is mysterion doctrine. This is for this dispensation that we live in. It's sad to say today, very few Christians understand that. We got the Baptist mentality that water baptism, if you're not, haven't had water baptism, you're not saved. Well, you are saved. If you believed in Christ, you're saved. No one is ever going to go to heaven because they had water baptism. Nobody. So, there. We haven't even had silent prayer yet. So now that I got you all cranked up, some of you probably have to rebound during silent prayer. Therefore, in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble together to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is a friend, Jim Showers, who is the executive director and president of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. He says the world is descending into chaos. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, The Apostle Paul referred to these days as perilous times. Scripture clearly indicates the events that will mark the end of this world as we know it, many of which we see today, such as biblical standards are called bigoted. There are wars and rumors of wars spread worldwide. There is gender confusion that has run rampant. And sin is glamorized. What next? Standing firm in our faith, we look to share the timeless truths of the Word of God so that others might experience the love and grace we have received through our Savior. The culture in which we live is ripe for God's judgment. And of course, that you, for those of you who are consistent and faithful, Tuesday night class in Joel is communicating that every week. The culture in which we live is ripe for God's judgment. But until that day comes, the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry will proclaim to a lost and dying world the words of life so desperately needed. Amidst all the chaos, we are confident that many people of all ages are desperately seeking truth in a world filled with lies and deception. Only biblical truth offers hope for this world. God's Word continues to be alive and powerful and able to deliver those who respond in faith. Romans chapter 6, we have exegeted the first five verses. It sounds like this. Therefore, what are we to say or to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, how can we live in it or by the power of the sin nature any longer? Or are you ignorant? Unfortunately, that characterizes most Christians in America today. Or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Retroactive positional truth. Therefore, we have been buried together with him by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death. Retroactive positional truth. For the purpose that, just as Christ was raised out from the dead ones, the resurrection of Christ, by means of the glory of the Father, the omnipotence of God the Father, so also we, royal family, might live in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have become intimately united with him in the likeness of his death, first class condition, and we have through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, then certainly we shall also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. Well, that was the exegetical study of the baptism of the Spirit. Then we got into a doctrinal study, a categorical study of the baptism of the Spirit. We've almost finished it. I'm not going to review the entire doctrine, but there we still have a very important part to go. In definition, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a real baptism, not a ritual. Ritual baptisms are all water baptisms. The baptism of the Spirit is a real baptism, an actual identification, in which God the Holy Spirit, at the moment we believe in Christ, identifies the believer with Christ's death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and his resurrection, current positional truth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the means of forming the royal family of God during the church age. The application of the baptism of the Spirit we studied in Galatians 3:26 to 28. And turn over to Galatians 3. We'll start there. Look at that again. Very key passage describing the three very important principles of application to the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. Galatians 3:26 to 28. Verse 26, you are all sons of God, huios, adult sons of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There are three principles of application in that verse. The first principle of application is that there is racial equality in union with Jesus Christ. The baptism of the Spirit makes it very clear that there is no place for racial prejudice. There is no such thing as either a superior or inferior race in Christianity. Race is no issue because every church age believer is in union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, and that means racial equality. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. Therefore, there is no racial distinction in Christ. The baptism of the Spirit demands that the believer think of himself as a person, totally apart from any form of superiority or inferiority. You are not to think of yourself as superior or inferior or with any form of human prejudice or hypocrisy. The second principle of application in Galatians 3:26 to 28, there is social equality in union with Christ. That's the phrase, there is neither slave nor free. At the time that this was written in the Roman Empire, there were a tremendous number of slaves. And many of those slaves placed their faith in Jesus Christ and were the first church age believers. So this refers to social distinctions as they existed at the time of writing. From the moment you believe in Christ, you are no longer to look at other believers in terms of social distinctions. You are no longer to regard any person as being socially beneath you or above you. Social distinctions are totally removed through the baptism of the Spirit. The third principle of application from Galatians 3:26 to 28 is that there is gender equality in union with Christ. The phrase, there is neither male nor female, means that the baptism of the Spirit provides gender equality in union with Jesus Christ. And this means both male and female are just as much in union with Christ and royal family as the other. If your spiritual life, in your spiritual life, You no longer look at a man or a woman through love or hatred, but spiritually you regard them as a member of the royal family of God. Then we noted that as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, the believer becomes a new spiritual species. 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and this is a very important phrase, and sadly to say today, very few pastors are studying from the original languages. Too bad. But all they study from is the English text, and then they try to get on the computer and find something on the computer. You can find lots of stuff on the computer, but it's not the Bible. So whenever you see, if you're studying from the original autograph, en Christo, that's the preposition en plus Christos in the dative case, en Christo, or en to Christo, or en hauto, in him. These are all technical phrases. And the faithful pastor who studies and teaches from the original language, when he sees this, or this, or this, that is a technical phrase for positional truth, positional sanctification, in union with Jesus Christ, identification with Christ in his resurrection, current positional truth. Technical for the baptism of the Spirit. So we have here, therefore, if anyone is in Christo, in Christ, in union with Jesus Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, he is a kainos katesis. And katesis comes from katizo, to create. It means creation, a new creature, a new spiritual species. And the best way to translate that, he is a new spiritual species. The old things have lost their power. Behold, new things have come to pass. We are a new katesis. We are a new spiritual species. And what is that name of that new spiritual species? We are the church. The church universal. That's a new spiritual species. We are royal family of God. That is a new spiritual species. There was family of God throughout the Old Testament through regeneration, but we are royal family of God as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. There was no baptism of the Spirit in Old Testament time. It's unique to the church age, from Pentecost to the rapture. Unique to this dispensation. We are royal family of God because we're through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth, we are in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, and therefore we are royal family of God, a new spiritual species. We are the body of Christ. He is the head, we are the body. A new organism, a new spiritual organism. Jesus Christ is the head, we are his body. As a new spiritual species, the old things have lost their power. Now, what are those old things? The old sin nature, as the ruler of human life, has lost its power. Now, you can give back its power experientially through the function of your own volition, negative volition, to sin. And Satan, as the ruler of this world, has lost his power over the church age believer. But once again, you can only give it back to him by sinning and living in his cosmic system. Whatever were your handicaps before salvation, they have lost their power over you and are no longer the handicaps to keep you from living the unique spiritual life of the church age, to keep you from growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to keep you from glorifying God to the maximum. And then new things have come as a new ketesis, as a new spiritual species. New things have come. And what are those new things? Those new things that have come include, well, the baptism of the Spirit, identification with Christ in His death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and His resurrection, current positional truth. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, making our body a temple for the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, and God the Father. The new things include a unique spiritual life for the church age. The new things include the provision of the filling of the Spirit as the divine power to live this unique spiritual life. The new things include our two unique royal commissions as a royal priesthood and royal ambassadorship. As a royal priest, we represent ourselves before God. As a royal ambassador, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. The new things include the unique mystery doctrines of the church age truth, never known about in Old Testament time. That's why it's called mysterion. The new things include, this is the dispensation of invisible heroes. As a result of the baptism of the Spirit, our union with Christ, our positional sanctification, has removed all barriers of arrogant prejudice, barriers of antagonisms, and systems of discrimination, to include all racial prejudice, sexual discrimination, cultural and social barriers, economic antagonisms, class distinctions, personality conflicts and antagonisms, political and ideological differences, environmental subjectivity, and pre-salvation religious prejudice. So we are a new spiritual species. Now there's one more concept we need to look with regard to the baptism of the Spirit before we move on. And that is the result of the baptism of the Spirit and union with Christ, identification with Christ in His resurrection, current positional truth, is that we share everything Christ has. As a result of the baptism of the Spirit and union with Christ, we share everything Christ has. Such as, one, we share His life. We share His life, which is eternal life. Turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Starting at verse 11. 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Now here we have in and out to and we us. So that, this is again, and I could have put another one up here. And out to Huiu, in His Son, in union with Jesus Christ. So this is again technical for our position, current positional truth, in union with Jesus Christ, identify with Christ in His resurrection. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It is in His Son. How do you get in Jesus, in union with Christ? Faith in Christ. And at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit identifies you with Christ in His death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and his resurrection, current positional truth. You are in union with Jesus Christ, so you share his eternal life. Secondly, you share Christ's righteousness. You share Christ's righteousness. And this is something very special, something totally unique to the church age believer that the Old Testament believer didn't have. Now, throughout the Old Testament, when an individual placed his faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father imputed his righteousness to that believer. He had the righteousness of God through imputation. So, every believer has that righteousness from God the Father through imputation. That's Romans 3, 21 and 22. Turn over to Romans 3. We've studied it. Romans 3, 21 and 22. Romans 3, 21. But now the righteousness from God. Righteousness that comes from God the Father, apart from the law, apart from the works of the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God, that comes from God, comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the justice of God imputes to every single believer his righteousness and declares you to be justified, righteous. That is the first category that we have, and every believer in all of human history has that imputation of righteousness from God the Father. But we have something, we have a double portion of righteousness, a double perfect righteousness. The second comes from God the Son, through union with Jesus Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:21. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:21. We are royal family of God. We are a new spiritual species. We share the life of Christ, eternal life, 1 John 5:11 to 13. We share the righteousness of Christ because we're in union with Jesus Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, God the Father, made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, the impeccability of Jesus Christ, sinless perfection, to be sin on our behalf. That was the imputation of the world's sin to Christ on the cross and the judgment of those sins, so that we might become the righteousness of God en auto, in him, in union with Jesus Christ. So again, we share the life of Christ as a result of being in union with Jesus Christ. We share the eternal life of Christ and the righteousness of Christ. So we have a double perfect righteousness. To whom much is given, much is expected. Third, we share the election of Christ. We share the election of Christ. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Verse 3. Worthy of praise and glorification, the God, even the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And again, this is in union with Jesus Christ. For he elected us to privilege in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. So we share the election of Christ, Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Fourth, we share the destiny of Christ. We share the destiny of Christ, Ephesians 1, 5 and 6. Ephesians 1, 5, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, by means of which grace He has pursued us with grace in the one He loves. And there again is our union with Jesus Christ in union with Christ's current positional truth. Fifth, we share the sonship of Christ. That's Galatians 3, 26 to 28, and we've seen that. We share the sonship of Christ. Sixth, we are the heirs of God. And we are the joint heirs with the Son of God. We are the heirs of God and we are the joint heirs of the Son of God. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit, that's God the Holy Spirit, Himself testifies with our spirit. This is the combination of the filling of the Spirit. And as you assemble at Upland Bible Church, we give you a few moments in case you have unconfessed sin in your life when you come here for a rebound. But you assemble filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, there's no sense in you being here. You're just wasting your time. But when you combine the filling of the Spirit with the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, then the teaching ministry of the Spirit teaches the absolute truth of the Word of God to your human spirit so that you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Spirit Himself, God the Holy Spirit, testifies or teaches the truth of God's Word with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Co-heirs with Christ in union with Jesus Christ. Seven. We share the priesthood of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is a royal priest. We share the priesthood of Christ. We are royal priests. 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. We share the royal priesthood of Christ. 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. First Peter 2, verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood, sharing the royal priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, being in union with Christ. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Eighth, we are royal ambassadors for Christ. We are royal ambassadors for Christ, representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20. Verse 17. Again, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in Christo, in union with Christ, current positional truth as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, he is a new creation, a new spiritual species. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. 9. We have eternal security. Once we're in union with Christ, we have eternal security. You can never get out of union with Christ. No matter if you renounce Jesus Christ, somewhere along the line, you simply believed in Christ as your Savior. And then, I don't know, you got hooked up with some Bible study or something other, and they give you all this garbage and start paying attention to garbage and human viewpoint. And the next thing you know, you start renouncing truth, renouncing doctrine, renouncing this. And then you get into the cosmic system and live your life. And you may live your entire life in the cosmic system and go through warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. But guess what? You're going to be in heaven. You'll be in heaven. How long were you in fellowship with God? Well, maybe a few weeks. Maybe a few minutes. But you can never get out of union with Christ. Once you place your faith in Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, as a result of faith in Christ, you are entered, you are identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, his resurrection, current positional truth. You have eternal security. You can never, ever lose your salvation. We can never get out of union with Christ. And that means whether we are winner believers or loser believers. 10. We are adopted into the royal family of God. We are adopted into the royal family of God. That's Ephesians 1:5, which we noted. Adopted into the royal family of God. So, we share everything that Christ is and has. For the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the body, church age believers, are united into one spiritual entity. So we share everything Christ is and has, because the head, Jesus Christ, and the body, the royal family, are united into one spiritual entity, one spiritual species. The baptism of the Spirit. What a fantastic truth and a critical truth for all of us church age saints living in this unique dispensation. All right. Now, you think, have we finished with the baptism of the Spirit? No. Now in Romans 6, 6 through 8, we have the implications of positional truth. Romans 6, 6 through 8, the implications of positional truth. In Romans 6, 6 and 7, we have the implications of retroactive positional truth. In Romans 6, 8, we have the implications of current positional truth. So now, first of all, the implications of retroactive positional truth, Romans 6, verses 6 and 7. Romans 6, 6 starts out knowing this. This is the present active participle of the verb ginosko, plus the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtas. G-I-N long O-S-K long O. Ginosko. Ginosko. Great word. One, a couple of things on ginosko. It can mean translated to know, or to come to know, or to perceive, or to realize, or to comprehend. And here the more of the emphasis on coming to know something so you comprehend it. Comprehending the baptism of the Spirit. And here, comprehending retroactive positional truth. So point two, ginosko denotes intelligent comprehension. I know I'm throwing in a word there. Intelligent comprehension. I'm taking a gamble on that one. Three, ginosko means to know from reflection on true doctrinal principles. Ginosko means to know from reflection on true doctrinal principles. Four, ginosko in our verse means to know from reflection on specifically the doctrine of retroactive positional truth, the baptism of the Spirit. Now we have in 6 and 7 emphasis, implications of retroactive positional truth. When we get to verse 8, implications of current positional truth. All of that is included, so it's ginosko in our verse to know from reflection on the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. The present tense has linear action start. Keep on reflecting on this doctrine, the baptism of the Spirit. Keep on reflecting on retroactive positional truth. Keep on reflecting on current positional truth. Keep on knowing this. The active voice, the believer consistently and faithfully metabolizing Bible doctrine about the baptism of the Spirit, positional truth, retroactive positional truth, current positional truth, performs the action of the verb. The participle is circumstantial attendant circumstance. And there's many times the participle is used this way, circumstantial attendant circumstance, not recognized by Many communicators, of course, most of them don't even study from the original. But God got me into Dallas Seminary at the exact perfect time. And I had the most phenomenal Hebrew and Greek teachers. And in Greek, I had a fellow, Phil Williams. He was absolutely, he had developed the greatest system for teaching Koine Greek. He made a notebook and gave this notebook to all of us. And I've used that so much that all the pages have fallen out. I keep sticking them back in. But he pointed out that in the circumstantial participle, many, many times it's a circumstantial participle of attendant circumstance, which communicators don't even know what that is. That means it has the force of the main verb. Now, the main verbs are back in verse 5. And back in verse 5, we had genomai and ami as the main verbs. How do you know they're main verbs? Because they're in the indicative mood. Those are the main verb. So in verse 5, we have become. There's genomai, verse 5. We have become, in the indicative, we have become intimately united with him in the likeness of his death. And then we have, we shall, and that is a me in the indicative, we shall also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. So those are the main verb. They're in the indicative mood. That's in verse 5. Now we have a circumstantial participle of attendant circumstance, and it has the same force. This has the same force as the main verbs in verse 5. And keep on knowing this, and keep on reflecting on these doctrines, on the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit, and keep on reflecting on retroactive positional truth and current positional truth. And then we have houtos. H-O-U-T-O-S. Houtos. And houtos is the near demonstrative pronoun. It refers to what follows in the context. And keep on knowing this. Keep on reflecting on the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth in verses 6 and 7. And keep on knowing this. Keep on reflecting on the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth. What? That our old man is crucified with him. Well, I hope you didn't crucify the old man when you went by. But our old man is crucified with him. And you're going to have to come back next week. We'll take a look at the old man crucified with him. This is, this is just, first of all, how Saul of Tarsus, as an unbeliever, was perhaps the greatest, had the greatest mind of any member of the human race ever. And he persecuted and opposed Jesus Christ and persecuted all of the followers of Christ, even holding their cloaks while they were stoned to death. But that Saul of Tarsus placed his faith in Jesus Christ. By the way, that's why Paul says he's the worst of all sinners. He believed in Christ, and Saul of Tarsus became Paulos, little. And with that faith in Christ, he was identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And God the Holy Spirit used this apostle. He gave him the gift of apostleship. By the way, the greatest spiritual authority in the pre-canon period of the church age was the apostle. The greatest spiritual authority in the post-canon of the church age is the pastor teacher. There are no apostles in the post-canon period of the church age. But Paul was a genius. And God the Holy Spirit, revealing these truths to this genius, puts down Romans. I mean, every epistle that Paul wrote is amazing. What we're studying in Romans 6 here, it's a human genius empowered by the Spirit of God to present this phenomenal truth. It's phenomenal. It's going to just get better and better. And I just shake my head. Paul was absolutely amazing. He was a genius. There aren't very many geniuses. I am not a genius. I know none of you thought I was. But I am not a genius. I'm a plotter. That's what I am. I plod. Take it one day at a time and plod. But as I plod along, I hope you see the genius of the Apostle Paul. This truth is going to get better and better and better. Well, we'll take a break. You can get ready for the Lord's table.